1. The shepherd, our father. I thank our father for the fact that he utilized the analogy of shepherdship and how he teaches. Our father is so ever precious that he utilizes common things to common people, or that's to say common everywhere. And there's no excuse for one not understanding. Why was shepherd utilized? Because the word itself means friend, companion, because the shepherd had to be a companion and a friend to the sheep. Why? Well, in the area in which the Bible land, we'll call it, pasture was very sparse. That means it wasn't all that good, and you had to. And in as much as sheep, they don't just bite off the top of grass. They are known even to bite her down pretty low. You know, they take whatever's put before them there if it's edible. And so you have to move, and you have to cover. And a good shepherd, the reason God did this, a good shepherd never feeds his sheep the same old acreage, or it grows stale. And you're not going to understand God's Word in as much as the name of Christ is the Word of God. You have to feed with all the Word. Let's say that if you were to stick with just prophecy, you like sensationalism and all you're going to look for is prophecy, you're never going to get there. Because you picked out 10 acres when the Father has put the whole world before you. This goes into like some shepherds don't even branch out into the first earth age. They pin their sheep up in this earth age. There's no way they're ever going to understand all of God's Word when they're hemmed in that way. The sheep must be fed overall the whole Word of God, the types and so forth, to prepare the ground of the mind to receive His truth. Thus, the term shepherd, which also means pastor, which means pasture, a tender of the pasture to make sure that the sheep are fed. This is to say when you see the truth and you want to share it with your friends, don't hem them up in one little place. That's bad, all right? None of God's Word is bad, but if you starve them, guess what happens? That's why, you know, if you got... The first thing that causes sickness among sheep is one of the first things is starvation. And they've got to be fed. What is the famine of the last days for? For hearing the Word of God. So our Father picked this analogy, and I think though it is so oversimplified to a so-called in-depth scholar of God's Word, student of God's Word, it's good for us to go back occasionally and make sure we're not tethered somewhere, okay? That we understand of where our Father comes from and the fact that He is our shepherd. And you're not loyal to a shepherd, I'm talking about our Father, if you only play one hand, all right? That's all you know. Pretty soon you get, again, stale. You're in a rut. And it takes all of God's Word before you can understand the precious parables to the fullest extent, whereby it simplifies prophecy, the Word, your life, your peace of mind. It brings everything to a healthy, knowledgeable, using wisdom that comes from God to have peace of mind. So, with that thought in mind, open your Bibles, if you will, to the great book of Luke. Let's just think on the term shepherd just a little bit, what our Father would have to say about it, and look at it from His perspective. After all, He is our Father, and you're supposed to follow Him. He leads, you follow. He's not going to push you. He's not going to force you. You have to follow Him, you have to first of all understand what it is He wants before you can follow, right? I mean, he set these examples for us. Okay, Luke chapter 15, let's pick it up with verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now, this was kind of a, Luke chapter 15, this is kind of a no-no. I mean, good saintly, priestly types didn't mess with sinners. I mean, you didn't go around those people. I mean, after all, that's a sinner over there. Well, that's why you were sent, beloved. That's, you do have a purpose in life, don't you? And that's not to be some holy Joe that's too good or knows too much to talk to a common person that needs help. That's what a shepherd must remember. You know, it's interesting, when you speak on television, you have to know that some people are turning on to your particular teaching for the first time. And then you've got some old people that have been there so long they think they know everything. I'm glad I haven't gotten to that place yet. I'm still learning, and I thank our Father for that. So you have to teach on three levels. You have to shepherd on three levels. Why? You got lambs, you got ewes, and you got rams. You got three different kind of levels you have to teach to when you're feeding father's sheep. And after all, I would remind you, what was Christ's words to Peter? Kind of almost the last words, not really, but almost. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Now, some people seem to forget that. They don't want to feed anybody. If you're not careful, you can become very selfish. I have to admit, when I first started studying God's Word, I wasn't doing it for anyone else. I knew there had to be more, and it seemed like all I could get from so-called learned people was, you've just got to have faith, or you're not meant to know that. And that I began to study for my own personal reasoning, but God didn't begin to really open the Word up to me until I began feeding His sheep, sharing my information. All right, that's that. When you, as long as you keep it and hide it under in your little old mind, He's not going to give you anything else. You're just going to go in circles. But when you share it, then God's Word will open up to you as well. And for heaven's sakes, always remember, teach on three levels. I just want to gather over here with the super knowledgeable ones, and you'll be gathering with the super stupid. Okay? I'm sorry, but that's the truth. If you're going to serve God, serve Him. If you're not, well, quit. Okay? It doesn't take a real intelligent person to teach on three levels where you can talk to a super knowledgeable person and teach him something at the same time you're teaching a beginner. That's called shepherding. It's a real nice gift to have. And anytime you speak publicly, you better be prepared. All the lambs, the sheep, and the rams are going to be there. How are you going to handle it? Right? Just the way he did. He set the example, all right, in the simplicity in which Christ taught and teaches and shepherded. Okay, verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, these men receive as sinners and eateth with them. Verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? In other words, these sinners here right now, they need help bad. They're lost. Now, you think I'm going to stick over here with you holy Joes when they need me more than you do? You don't need me. They do. You want to learn a lesson from that. When you arrive to the same frame of mind as the scribes and Pharisees, God's going to bypass you. You're not going anywhere, friend. You're going to be like a big tractor stuck in the mud. You got big wheels, and all you're going to do is spin them. Okay? You got to remember God's lambs as well. You've got to be able to teach on three levels. Please don't take that as complicated. It isn't. The way you teach on three levels is to simply utilize common sense and speak in a language that all can understand. And just, you don't have to worry about how it's received. God takes care of that. He'll let them receive it on whatever level they're capable of receiving. Okay? But Jesus is making it very clear, I don't overlook anyone. Now, what is 100? What is it symbolic of? It is symbolic of God's election, of grace, and the children of promise. So he's kind of addressing this to the children of promise. This is how you're supposed to act. If you're serving me, you're supposed to follow me and do it the same way as I do. Okay? Verse 5. And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. I mean, he is so happy when he finds that one. Do you understand how precious it is to the Father and the angels when one person sees the truth? They have a party in heaven. And I say, over me? Yes. Because you're God's child. They know you. And when you come around to saying, I love my Father and I love his word, they're so happy, and it makes your Father's day as well. Let me tell you something. You're never going to be successful planting seeds among old, hard, clotted ground. Hard-headed ground. You got to get out there where the children are, where the lambs are, and you've got to feed and grow with them. Don't try to tell them everything you know in the first setting. It isn't important how much you know to them at that moment. What's important is whether or not they can understand our Father loves us and feeds us. Verse 6, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Do you think God is not concerned about his lost children? He's a God of vengeance, all right. But he still loves his children. And that's why he sent election, was to save through the truth as many as possible. It makes his day. Verse 7, I say unto you, now who is this you? Who was he talking to? The scribes and the Pharisees. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. That'll kind of bring you back down to earth, friend. If you ever get to thinking you are so precious to God that he can't get along without you, you might remember this verse. They have a celebration when a sinner comes to them, but you're already there. Okay? That's expected. Your election. Don't expect that party but you become, how do I say this? You become a party of that celebration when you've been kind enough to pass that word. To reach down. Reach, I don't like to reach down, I like to reach up. Well, I'm sorry, if they're down, you're going to have to go. Well, I don't like to talk to people that are sinners. Why not? You afraid you'll pick up their habits instead of they picking up yours? You're not a coward, are you? Then don't be afraid to go anywhere, but remember you take Christ with you. Verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? This is just human nature. How many of you have lost something or forgot where you put something? And I mean, it's on your mind and you can't quit. You just keep looking and looking and looking. Where did I put that thing? And some of you that are like my age and you might be getting a little bit of CMS, that means can't remember stuff, you know. Well, you keep looking though, you know, and finally when you find it, you say, wow, I knew I put that in a good place. I put it in such a good place, I couldn't even find it. Okay? Anyway, this is something that is just natural and everybody can relate to. Why am I saying that? I want you to see how Jesus teaches. That's how you teach. You follow. You don't lead. You follow. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. 10, listen carefully. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, can you kind of begin to see what your duties are as a Christian? I mean, that's important. And Jesus wants you to know that's important.
Well, I just like to talk to deep-seated Christians.
Well, you poor soul. I feel sorry for you. I know it is wonderful to fellowship with somebody that understands what you're talking about. That's beautiful. But you better cut some slack and time to set an example in life. You don't never preach on the job unless to answer questions if somebody asks you. But where you make your livelihood, that's not your church. Okay, that's where you make the beans. All right? If you try to turn where you make the beans into a church, you may be out of beans pretty quick. Okay? That's not a good idea. That's not very smart. Naturally, if someone comes up to you and asks a question, say, I'll answer that for you after work or in a few minutes on a break or something. You have to utilize common sense. But the very angels in heaven. Now, when you get together with a friend and visit, do you think the angels in heaven celebrate? Uh-uh. Ain't no way. They don't have time for that. But when you do what you're supposed to do, and you reach out and touch a heart, touch a mind, it's not going to happen every day, but friend, if you only touch one in your lifetime, that's awesome. Really awesome. And Father rejoices. You earned your keep. Get ready, the blessings are going to flow. But never forget your purpose. Never lose focus on what it is you're supposed to do for our Heavenly Father to be called child. I'll repeat that. Never forget what it is you're supposed to do for our Heavenly Father to call you child, a member of His children. Okay? So, I think that is so fantastic that one of us common folk can do something with the knowledge God has given us that causes our Father and the angels to rejoice in heaven. Boy, that just, doesn't that touch you? Doesn't that just let you know how God operates, that he has emotions like everyone else? He likes to celebrate. He likes to feel good. But first you have to give him something to feel good about. And I know all of you do, but it's good for us on Father's Day to remember our Father and His feelings, because it is from there where we receive blessings and knowledge and wisdom from changing that pasture where it includes the whole Word of God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. I'm sorry, John chapter 10. Jesus uses another example that he wants us to wire into occasionally and humbly, meekly approach it, absorb it, whereby we can give our Father pleasure. Chapter 10, the great book of St. John, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So let me make it very clear. You got to go through the door. That's pretty well said, isn't it? If you don't, what are you? If you don't go through the door, if you don't listen to the door's words and rules, you're a thief and a robber. Let me ask you this. Does God bless thieves and robbers? The answer is obvious, is it not? Absolutely not. Okay, verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He's more than that. We'll get to it here in a moment. Again, what does this shepherd do? Well, it means a friend, a companion. Now take all this in. That's what he is to you. Well, I'm lonely. No, you're not. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he is your companion. That's why he makes these promises, to let you know, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 3, to him the porter openeth. That's the thoros, the doorkeeper. I mean, when he walks up there, he's going to open that door, all right? And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Now, did it say he got a cat of nine tails and drove them out? No. He leads. You have to follow. I don't know if I'm ready to go or not. Well, then stay where you are. But when the shepherd moves, did it say that he knows your name? I guarantee you, if you're one of his election, which doesn't make you any better than anybody else, it just means he can count on you. He knows your name inside out and in more languages than you do. And if you hear his voice, I hope you're wise enough to listen. Because he has ways to give unction whereby you intuitively know that's what I'm supposed to do, utilizing always common sense, because our Father is not a fool. Anytime something makes an absolute foolish thing, you better rethink it. Verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, you're going to run across people that will say, I'll tell you what, let's go off down here, and we're going to do this. We're going to expedite the end. You mark that person well and have nothing to do with them if it isn't written in God's Word, if God has not led you. Don't follow this man or any other man. Jesus will never drive you. Do you understand what I'm saying? He will never force you. You are the captain of your own ship. You either follow him, or if you try to go up some other way, I guarantee you, I can tell you, you're never going to have a following. You're never going to amount to a hill of beans. Stale water gathers mosquitoes and scum. Follow Christ and be successful. Do you know his voice? His voice is the Word of God. See that you hear it when he speaks. Verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, this is why you never, if you should, let's say, like many people might say, well, why do you have books that have the rapture in it? I'm not afraid for those that study with me to hear other people's opinions. Everybody's, you know, one of God's elect, if they listen to a fool, they become a bigger fool than he. If you're a good teacher, you will teach by following Christ, where you don't have to worry about scum. Okay? You don't have to worry about anything. God's children follow Christ, not man, not you, not anyone else. They will follow him. Now, you might pick up some scrubs that will follow you. And that's good riddance for the church, okay? That is to say, the real body of Christ. If, you know, if it bleeds off, those that will not remember the lambs, the ewes, and the rams. Do you understand what I mean by that? By that I mean the tender ones, the ones just starting, the ones that have been in it a little while, a little more, and people that are serious students that know his voice and follow him. Okay? Always remember that. Never forget the little ones. That's the biggest mistake some people make, is forgetting the little ones. And I thank our Father for the fact that we gain, and this is going to sound like, this is not a brag, it's a fact, okay, that we get anywhere from 200 to 600 little ones, new ones, every day. I don't care what day of the week it is, mark it down. And we'll keep a pretty large part of those. Let that be, and I'm saying, don't take that as a brag, because it's God that does it, not man. It's his voice. It's his word that they follow. They will not follow you. They follow the word of God. Why? That's where the power is. Now, the word know in that fifth verse, do you know what it is? Ora, and it means, intuitively. That means they will know without even being taught. God has a way of, that's the action of the Holy Spirit. You can count on it, okay, in that fifth verse. For they will intuitively know, they will not follow a stranger, okay? That is to say, a stranger in Jesus' camp. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So now he's going to explain a parable. I love it. When Jesus explains something, if you want God's blessings, you won't ever try to interpret it further. Because when he explains something, when you start translating his explanation, chances are pretty good that you're wrong. Okay? So let's listen to it. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. In other words, there is no other way. Anyone that goes up another way enters except through that door, which is to say Christ, the shepherd. He's a thief and a robber, and he's looked at that way from our Heavenly Father. Now, that's explaining it down pretty clear, is it not? I mean, you can't misconstrue that unless you want to. He said, I'm the door. Hey, friend, that's it. Verse 8. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He's talking about the Pharisees, the scribes, the Kenites, quite frankly, that murdered the prophets, that misled the children, that ripped them off, wouldn't go among, well, I would know those are sinners he's over there with. They're the ones that need the help, okay? Verse 9, I am the door, but by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's a promise, friend. God never makes a prisoner out of anyone. He expects you to be able to function on your own. But if you come in by him, the door, you can go in and out. And he promises you pasture, food. That means blessings. That means knowledge. That means truth. Why would I go in and out? To go teach it, of course. What did you get it for in the first place? To share it. To set an example, if nothing else, by your life. You know, I receive many statements. And you have to remember, when you're just talking to a large group of people, there are handicapped people in this world that can't go out. That can't get out there. And you can put them on a guilt trip if you're not real careful. I'm not saying you got to get out there and work. Well, they can't. But the beauty of it is that a handicapped person, instead of saying, I have problems, says, I love Jesus, it sets a much larger example of testimony than you can ever give. Because someone's going to say, you mean you have all these problems and you still love the Lord? Fantastic testimony. That cuts a lot of weight. So why do I say that? So I don't offend someone. All right? Remember the lambs. Remember the little ones. Think who it is that's hearing you. And try your very best to teach all, to be a blessing to all. Let the word be a blessing to all. And to explain the teacher's word, whereby he wouldn't offend anyone, you shouldn't either. Be very careful with that. You can go in, and you can go out. And he guarantees you will have pasture. You're going to have blessings. You're going to have food, spiritual food, to grow. That means new truths, and so forth, if you work for it, okay? 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. They're a destroyer. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That they have a full life. That they have peace of mind. You know, it is so important that you have peace of mind, or what do you have, really? You're a ball of nerves and you're a worrier. But with the word, knowing God takes care of me, if I make one impression on one friend, even the angels in heaven will rejoice with God that we got this done. We're God's children. We're effective. We're not just reading scripture. We act up on it. We grow full because we serve God. And he does send those blessings, all right? Verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He did that. You know why? I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but none of us are perfect. You know, we mess up. We fall short. He gave his life whereby on repentance we have forgiveness and a clean start. Don't ever let anyone rob you of that, or they are a thief. I said you have a fresh, clean start, okay? Verse 12, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep or not. Usually there were large families, and usually they shepherded their own sheep. All right? You got to picture that. You got to be a friend to them. You got to keep them moving. You got to protect them from the wolves and the dangerous animals. And if you're hired to do that, and there is a big, hungry wolf pack comes up, you might say, if you're not careful, hey, this job don't pay enough for this. I'm out of here. I'm taking the HA trail out of here right now. And they're gone. Beware of people that teach God's word for money. Well, how can I tell? Because that's all they'll talk about, okay? You tell someone, identify them by what they talk about. If that's all they talk about, put your big box there and say, this person is in this box. All right? At the same time, I want to say that every hireling, every laborer is worth his, whatever you call it, okay, wage. So you be balanced, is what I'm saying, right? But the hireling who is own sheep or not, they're not his, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Don't let somebody tear a flock up, nip it in the bud, you know, that's what you do. But at the same time, if you've shared good truths with the family, they should be able to absorb that and pretty well. You can't do their thinking for them. Or then you're drifting into the cult world.
Well, brother, you just have to realize if you're studying under me, you cannot do that. Oh, what chapter and verse is that? You're starting a cult. And there's beware of these ministries that say you have to be under a pastor. You have to have his permission or her permission to do certain things.
You're in a cult. Okay? That's not biblical. That's some dude trying to make a name for himself here on earth. All right? Beware. One real quick proof of that, did Jesus demand it? No, he said, there's the door. You can go in or you can go out. Now, there are some people that go out and don't ever come back in, and God is probably blessed for it, okay? But they have that freedom. God does not force anyone to love him. He will not do that. 13, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. 14, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known of mine. I know them, they know me, we got a good thing going, they follow me. Anytime I look back over my shoulder, I can be rested assured they're going to be right there. Do you know, loyalty is a precious thing, and in a ministry it is so important. It really is. Loyalty goes a long, long way. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. I don't know, has he asked you to help? I said, has he asked you to help? He has other sheep. He was going to lay his life down, so he couldn't do it forever. Except through the word. He had to have servants. He had to have help. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. His work would continue through his ministry, with he being the shepherd, the living word. And that word will touch sinners, convert them, and there will be rejoicing in heaven through God's election. The 100, God's election and the children of promise that would complete that work. He said, marvel not, greater things than this will you do. When he was on the lake and had to go out in a little boat, wasn't that the time? I think it was. I mean, you had to have, if you'd been in flat ground, you'd had to have electronic help for the audio to catch them, for them to hear it. And now, sure enough, you can push one button and you can go around the world taking truth to the lambs, to the ewes, and to the rams, to all three levels. You can take that truth. It's a blessing. And he expected his sheep to be fed whether they were sinners or saints. Anytime you start judging people as to whether they're worthy or not, you're going to get burned, friend. You're cruising for a bruising. I mean, leave God to pick whom he will pick, or you're going to pass up some really good ones, okay? Do you wonder why I'm saying that? I said, let God do the picking, or you might pass over a really good one, all right? Let God do the choosing. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. That's straight from our Father. Now, what about the Old Testament and shepherds? Some of the best teachings concerning the shepherd. Who was one of the better shepherds of Israel? Joseph was. I mean, he was a pretty good example. Do you know what his brothers did to him? He was one of the sons, along with Benjamin, of Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel. Okay? And I'm sure that caused a little bit of jealousy. But they took old Joseph, because God spoke to Joseph directly, gave him a coat of many colors, told him about a shock of wheat and so forth. They sold him. I mean, made a slave out of him. His own brothers, and I'm talking about the patriarchs of Israel, nice guys, good people. I mean, flat sold him into captivity. Now, what did God have to say about that? What does that have to do with shepherding, and what is the promise of God? Genesis chapter 49. Verse 22. Genesis 49, verse 22. Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. That means he's a go-getter, okay? That means that whether the weather's good, bad, or ugly, Joseph's going to make it. God, why? Well, God's going to see to it. Have you ever seen a tree that's planted by where there's underground water where the roots can get to it continually, and one that's back off in a dry desert place? I mean, one's a little scrawny thing, and this one where the water is, whoa. Well, God is your water, of spiritually speaking, all right, in more places than one. Verse 23, the archers have sorely grieved him and shoot at him and hated him. I mean, they threw little darts at him from every direction, even though God told him, hey. Verse 24, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. For from thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Don't ever forget it, my friends. Never forget it. If you're not on that stone, if you're not on the correct rock, you got trouble, big trouble. And when God says something, but you just went from the New Testament all the way back to the Old. It's still the same author. It's still the same shepherd. It's still our Father. And he never changes. Never. He was the same in the first earth age. He will be here and he will be forever. Verse 25. Even by the God of thy father who shall keep thee. Help thee. What's he going to do? He's going to help thee. Let me tell you something. Without his help, you're treading water, friend. And by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. You're going to be blessed everywhere you go. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. And then, of course, it goes on into Benjamin. But I wanted you to see that God is your shepherd. God takes care of you. God loves you. But do you know what causes God to love you? When you listen to him. When you listen to his word, not man, and especially certainly not man's traditions, but you let God's word, not just one little part of the pasture, but the whole thing, and keep it balanced. Keep it balanced, or you're going to lose out, friend. It takes the whole pasture, and the whole pasture must be covered. Psalms chapter 80. Our Father, the Shepherd. Psalms chapter 80. The lily. The Psalms for the second Passover. Verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. We're wiring right into where we left in Genesis. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. What cherubims is that? You all know, don't you? You've seen the instructions given to Moses on how to build the ark, and that we had a cherubim on each side of the mercy seat, okay? Let me ask you something. Does your shepherd sit on that mercy seat? Is that his place? I hope so. 2, before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. These were offspring of Rachel. Okay. Have you ever heard Rachel weep for her children? You know, she gave up her life when she gave birth to Benjamin, Joseph's full brother. 3, turn us again, or return, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Not maybe, not perhaps, we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? People pray. How many? And how many pray for what? How many pray for what is written in God's word, or how many pray that pray for the wrong people, that they have power and blessings? Think about it. I'm speaking worldwide. 5. Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. They mock us. I'm going to tell you something. We're mocked a great deal today, and we should be. Anytime the strongest nation in the world allows an enemy from within to have us turn on our own internal agencies and kind of let the enemy go free and squawk and raise sand because some punk that wanted to blow up a lot of innocent people's not getting a fair trial, I'll give him a fair trial. We got trouble and we got grief, and it's no wonder that people laugh at us. We need to be laughed at. That is to say, our liberal press. Well, are you getting political? No, that's fact, friend. That's fact. Verse 7. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. That's the only way to salvation. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Oh, boy. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like to goodly cedars. Truth will always prevail for a handful that follow God. There's a lot more than a handful in this hour that's turning back to God and saying, help us, please. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. I mean, it covered everywhere. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her, like blowing up two towers right in downtown New York City? Why didn't you keep us protected? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. I'm going to tell you what, you would find very few people who would know where the spiritual wild, who the wild boar was, even, that tries to tear down the hedge. Do you know what a hedge is? That's a fence that's supposed to protect the vineyard. Usually, in a spiritual sense, the church. Need I say more? I don't think so. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. Let me tell you something. There is a move on to hurt churches. I think probably, and I'm not going to mention any church names. You know that's against my beliefs because I judge no one. But I guarantee you the liberal press and certain people are laying it to one church way, way beyond what is necessary. And I happen to know that for a fact. Much of this, through even other religions other than Christianity, is being bombarded and making houses open in ways that they've never been before. The boar's doing it, all right? But they won't get it done. You don't have anything to worry about. Do I look worried? No, I'm not worried. God, why? God takes care of his own. You know, when you serve God, as long as you utilize common sense, and you're not a hireling, God's going to stand with you and protect you. You don't have to worry, all right? I believe that with all my heart, or I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Verse 15, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself, it is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. Oh, he's still there. You don't have to worry. So will not we go back from thee? Quicken us. That's a figure of speech that means make us alive. Okay, give us some life, peace of mind, and we will call upon thy name. They should be calling anyway. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. His face never has stopped shining. Only the disillusioned, troubled people would think that God had turned his back on his people. Okay? God simply allows people to get everything they got coming to them. Okay? So, if you are a wise person and you're serving God, that's why you're blessed. And that's why you're immune. You've been inoculated to much of the trouble that there is in this world today because you have peace of mind. And it comes from following that shepherd. If I were to close this, and I'm going to, with more scripture, I'm not going to, it would naturally be which psalm? Psalms 23. You know? But everybody knows it by heart. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down by green pastures. In other words, he gives me good food. He feeds me well for what people need to hear. That's what's important, beloved. He feeds, and though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that means though you walk through this nation where they're spiritually deader than a hammer, you have life. You're immune to it. God blesses all nations, his world that he created. But it is time for Christians to understand the shepherd, the door that they must go in, and then freely go in and out. But beware of what message you carry in and out if you want his blessings. It is the simplicity in which Christ taught. You see, many people say, well, prophecy is heavy. Foot. That's a southern saying, foot. Okay? It's not heavy. Prophecy, if you listen to Christ explain it, is not a complicated thing at all. It's going down as it's written, period. And that's it. And this is where most people go wrong. They don't listen to his explanation. They gotta do their own. Okay. You better listen to his. Why? Well, you're gonna mislead a bunch of people if you don't. Because it is written and that's how it will come to pass. I love you all. I love our shepherd, our Father, his Son, who paid that price. He has sent us a beautiful word, a letter, that just really warms your heart and allows you to understand the conditions of this world, even at this time. I thank him for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the written word, your word, Father. We thank you for being our shepherd. For a shepherd's main duty is to feed the flock, and you feed us well, Father. Thank you for that. We seek, we search, we love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape, What is this mark of the beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the mark of the beast.
Genesis 1:46, the first six chapters in God's Word. The world that was. Did you realize there was a world age before this one? Same old world, different age. The creation itself. When were the races created? You see, all the races were created separately, and you'll find that documented in these particular tapes. How and what was the sin in the garden? It will be discussed in this series also. This is a must for the serious Bible scholar, for if you do not understand how it was in the beginning, you certainly will never understand the end. I think you will find this series very rewarding and certainly will answer questions that no doubt you've always wondered about. Genesis 1:46. Hey, I know you're going to enjoy this series.
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible and every passage where the word utilized may be found in the Scriptures. With the assistance of a reference numbering system, the English reader may easily translate any word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldee, or Greek in which God's Word was written. The Companion Bible is a unique study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The book of Peter. Here we have two books, 1st and 2nd Peter, that are absolutely fascinating. That great old fisherman telling us, leading us, directing us, guiding us.